Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
With the old man, stranded again, so off I'd ran. A young world crashing around me.
Little Heart bringing us back. That's Ann Wilson. That's her sister Nancy on guitar behind her there. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with us. Dr. Paul Howard is our guest. He's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. His specialty is on the medical programs that America has out there, and trying to find ways to improve them. Paul, when we were talking about this in the last segment, we were trying to establish the fact that one of the problems, the 21st century problems, is we got to deal with these 20th century promises and try to come up with a way to deal with them, to adjust them, to make adjustments that help to keep as much of the promise as possible, but also dealing with the reality that we have right now, right?
Absolutely. The reality that the number of people who are going to be retiring, taking advantage of these programs, is quickly catching up with both our ability and overtaking our ability to pay for them, because the number of workers that are supporting those retirees is dwindling quickly.
Well, and part of the there are two or three ways to do this. Obviously, you can change the age of the retirement benefits. You can increase taxes, and you can find efficiencies. Those are three good ways, aren't they? Let's talk about some of those.
Sure. I mean, I think that what you should do, we were talking about this a little bit offline, but so the problem, at least in the healthcare sector, is government is the regulator, government is the payer, and in some cases, government is the provider in terms of states that own their, or cities that own their own hospital systems, as we do here in New York City. So there's a lot of overlap when you've got one entity that's doing all three of these things, and obviously it muddies the water.
Right.
I think one of the things you have to do right away is to fix the problem that government itself has created, so it's not continuing to exacerbate those problems.
So you're saying get government out of some of the decisions.
Get it out of the decisions, because as long as it's making those decisions and it's a player, people are going to lobby it. They're going to lobby it to spend more money. They're going to lobby it with regulations to protect their favorite industry or their favorite group. They're hamstringing competition through regulation by just laying down so many rules about mm-hmm. who can do what, where, and when,
right,
that it's impossible for lower-cost businesses to come in and compete.
Well, let me throw something out here as a comparison. Folks, we have a much greater obligation, contingent obligation out there to a great degree for Medicare, the health care side of this entitlements, than we do for Social Security, Paul. And if you think about it, with Social Security, they just write you the check and you take it and you spend it as you want to. With Medicare, the government stays involved all the way through the process. So if the one that the government is the most involved in is the one that is causing us the most financial heartache, that kind of proves your point, doesn't it, Paul?
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right, too, in the sense that, look, yeah, Social Security is a problem, but it's a fixable problem. You change the retirement age, you change assumptions about cost of living adjustment, and you can really start to get that problem under control.
And continue to let people make decisions about how to spend that money.
Absolutely. So you can start to encourage them to save more for their own retirement, which they should. There's no reason that, as the president likes to say, we should be paying for Warren Buffett's retirement. People should be encouraged to save more of their own money on their own and make
right.
smarter decisions about that spending.
All right.
But when you get to Medicare, so Medicare is saying, these are the prices we're going to pay for all of these procedures. This is who can provide them. these are the kinds of things you have to do, and it prevents people from finding smarter, faster, cheaper ways of doing things. My colleague Regina Hertzlinger at one point said, look, Duke Hospital, University Hospital down in North Carolina, came up with a way of improving the treatment of patients with severe heart congestion.
Right.
But they lost money, because if you wind up giving better care and keeping patients in the hospital less time, you discharge them, you've lost money.
But there's no opportunity in the current Medicare system for any kind of innovation or entrepreneurship, is there? Because it's currently structured.
It, ex- it's extraordinarily difficult because the way Medicare pays for things is through price controls and quantity. So the more you do, the more you get paid. And Medicare will say, we'll pay you know, a dollar for this, but only 50 cents for that. Obviously, you tend to get more of the higher-priced procedures or things, and that just skews the system because then patients get more of some things and less of others. Who knows what effect it actually has on health?
And let me stick something in here that's only slightly off topic, Paul. This is what we got, folks, with a government-run healthcare system. Why would we want to give the rest of the private healthcare system to the government? Paul, can you explain that to me?
Well, look, the idea that's out there is when you look at, you know, systems that are in Greece, or that's a bad example. Let's say in England or France or Germany, and say, hey, they don't spend as much money as we do per capita on their healthcare systems. And I think that's for a number of reasons. They've had these things in effect for, you know, the last 50 years or longer. And they've been able to tamp down prices all along the way. I also think they get less innovation because of it. So fewer really innovative new products. 8 out of the last 10 Nobel Prize-winning ideas in medicine were originated in the U.S.
Right.
So you know we've got tremendous innovation here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea. But I think in the U.S. it's not going to work that way because we're starting so late in the game, and the players, the hospitals, the nursing homes, are such big players in the system today that if you continue to have the government administer that system, they're going to keep doing what they've done, which is to play it to their own
hand. Well, but we've got this free market innovation entrepreneurship infrastructure. We've got this DNA over here that really does work if we'll let it work. And the folks, we've got to do this. I've been talking about this for almost 14 years. I've been saying we've got to get free market solutions into the medical system, the healthcare system, I should say, and a lot of problems will be solved. We're going to talk about this some more with Dr. Paul Howard. He's with the Manhattan Institute after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.